Good evening and welcome, dear ones. Now deep into the Advent journey into the divine light, the Christ candle is again lit as a symbol of the divine light that is coming and in fact is already present and abiding in all things. So this evening, in continued remembrance of those whose lineage we gratefully follow, we remember Thomas Merton, who was the one who began the renewal of the Christian contemplative tradition. He was only 53 years old when he died on this day, December 10th, 1968, of an unlikely death in Thailand. One could only wonder what he would have contributed had he lived another 42 years, as Thomas Keating did. Remembering his life today and his death brought me back to the year 1968, one of the most tumultuous years in the recent history of the United States. There were riots, the killings of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, the riot-filled Democratic convention at the Conrad Hilton Hotel in Chicago, and many other things occurred that year. And yet the year concluded with a blessing, and we will share that at the end of our class today. But now we will open with a reflection by Thomas Merton. He spent the last months of his life in Southeast Asia. This is from a special closing prayer that he gave at a conference entitled the First Spiritual Summit Conference in Calcutta in October 1968, just 2 months before his death. This was his closing prayer to that conference. O God, you have made us one with you. You have taught us that if we are open to one another, you dwell in our midst. Help us to preserve this openness with all our hearts. Help us to realize that there can be no understanding where there is mutual rejection. O God, in accepting one another wholeheartedly, fully, completely, we accept you, and we thank you, and we adore you, and we love you with our whole being. Because our being is in your being, our spirit is rooted in your spirit. Fill us then with love, and let us be bound together with love as we go our diverse ways. United in this one spirit which makes you present in the world and which makes you witness to the ultimate reality that is love. Love has overcome. Love is victorious. Love never fails. Amen. And that is what we've been hearing these recent weeks. May we know that fully today and tomorrow and to come and forever. So this evening is the last class of this year in our curriculum, and our next class will be Thursday, January 14th. Our last journey group meetings of the year will be this coming week, whenever each of our groups meet. And our work partner relationships for this year will end on December 18th. Journey groups and work partners will resume in their new configuration the week of February 7th. And registration for all components of the Journey School will be open on January 3rd. And you will be hearing more about this, of course. So let us settle ourselves in a place of imminent trust and hope now and in the time to come, and in receptivity to the conscious influences coming from the circle of conscious humanity, particularly our branch and lineage of that circle. And we prepare to receive those influences this evening. There is something for us just waiting for our reception. So with back upright and heart open, we settle into these noble bodies and hold the awareness of this rare and precious life, Christ's life, evolving in my consciousness. I hold this awareness for a moment, and then I breathe out all of this healing goodness into the world. I let go of the complexities of the day, the plans for tomorrow, the anxieties and small fears of my heart. I lay down my constructed life in order to yield to the divine human life that is my destiny and the destiny of all human beings. And we stand unencumbered before God and one another, totally present. So we will share on the screen our Lectio Divina reading for this evening. And it will be read three times with a silent pause in between each reading. From Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance, and what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us. I am the way, and the truth allows no separation between the way, the means, and its end, truth. Our end being transformation into Christ. And when the Christian comes to the end of his journey, there is the same truth she began with, only now unveiled in all its reality and marvel. The journey is one of gradual transformation, ever seeing and living more profoundly the truth already with us. Truth was never something beyond or down the road. It is always here and now. The means, Christ, being the end itself. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling. What are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance? And what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us? I am the way, and the truth allows no separation between the way, means, and its end, truth. Our end being transformation into Christ. When the Christian comes to the end of his journey, there is the same truth that she began with, only now unveiled in all its reality and marvel. The journey is one of gradual transformation, ever seeing and living more profoundly the truth already with us. Truth was never something somewhere beyond or down the road. It is always here and now. The means, Christ, being the end itself. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling. What are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance? And what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us? I am the way and the truth. Allows no separation between the way, means, and its truth, its end, truth. Our end being transformation into Christ. When the Christian comes to the end of his journey, there is the same truth she began with, only now unveiled in all its reality and marvel. The journey is one of gradual transformation, ever seeing and living more profoundly the truth already with us. Truth was never somewhere beyond or down the road. It is always here and now. The means, Christ, being the end itself. Amen. So I invite you to share what you received from this passage, and by simply using the raised hand function on Zoom, and you'll be called upon and we will receive your gift. Yes, Tracy Greiner, please.
Hi. I heard truth over and over again. And I was wondering about that. What is truth? Because on this journey, the way, I've noticed through the years, my truth has changed. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what I thought was truth must not have been truth. And so, but what I heard is it's ever present. It's always with us at each moment. And so I'm just wondering about it. I thought this was a good thing to ponder and wonder about what is truth.
Yes. And we will be pondering and wondering about it all next year, at least. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. Jeff, please.
You got to be on the other side of the computer. Other side, other side. Other side of the mouth.
Hi. Side.
Whoops.
Do this.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. This is Kieran, sorry.
Yes.
So I also heard that truth is forever with us and always present. And I heard about destiny. And so whether we are fully aware always of that truth, there's a way, there's a path, and to be present to it and to be keep our awareness. Our awareness towards it, that truth, you know, that's what I heard.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Kieran.
Thank you.
Galaxy 17 star Greta. J7 star Greta.
You have to unmute, Greta.
Can you unmute?
Okay.
There you go.
I also heard that truth is always in the here and now. And that reminded me that if we are open to truth, then we are taking in that truth with our three centers, with our sensations, with our feelings, with our mind and attention, and that in that case there really isn't any story. There's just, like was just mentioned, an awareness and an openness of being that carries us through in multiple dimensions. It's not linear like a story. And That gave me a lot of insight. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Greta. Thank you. Camille, please.
I found the prayer that I intend to have daily for the next year in this translation of Ephesians 1, 18 through 19. It just opens it up for me. And seems to be a very fitting prayer to go along with the work class.
Indeed it is. Thank you, Camille. Catherine, please.
Hi, I'm not sure what's going on with my camera tonight, so I'm a black screen, but I can hear okay, which I'm thankful for. I heard reality. And on the Advent retreat, there is a reading about choosing clearly what really is. And with everyone speaking about truth, I'm wondering if truth is seeing what really is. And then the reading this weekend was talking about the reality where there's light all the time. You know, and sometimes we don't always see it because we're identified or whatever reason. But the light always exists. And so I'm just wondering about this truth and this reality.
Yes. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Yes, in the meditation on Ephesians, it says, the truth begins to become now unveiled in all its reality and marvel. It seems like that's our work, the unveiling. Thank you. Guy, please.
Thank you. What stood out to me was Christ is the means and the end. And there was this, for me, there was this sort of relief that perhaps the sort of being scared of death and the illusion or delusion of what happens when I die. And it just occurred to me that if Christ is the means and the end, I can try to attain some sort of Christ consciousness through the work and the higher energy centers and the ray of creation. And then if Christ is the end, that's what I was to begin with anyway. I was never Guy. Hmm. And I have a lump in my throat over that. Hmm. It's sort of relief and joy and this kind of existential dread is just sort of vanished. So thank you for that reading. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Guy. Thank you for that perception and sharing. Sandra, please, and you will be our last sharing for this portion.
Can you hear me? Yeah. It's Ken, actually.
Oh, good. Hi, Ken.
Howdy. I heard the way is the end. And I'm not even sure it said that, but that's what I heard. Mm. And the image or the idea that came to me is that the end is stillness. So if the end is the way and the way is the end, then the way is stillness. So yeah, that's the idea that I wish to hold. Mm, not feeling very still right now, so.
Excellent.
It's a good gift for me. Thank you.
It's a good gift. And thank you for your gift to us and everyone for the thoughts of your hearts, both expressed verbally and those that you have continue to hold close. So tonight we include this year's journey into the way. The way draws us deeper, has been our annual aim and theme. And we also, this evening, in addition to our sharing, we will get just a little glimpse over the horizon into what is to be. So I'm very pleased to introduce Peter, who will accompany us on our journey of discovery. Peter, please.
Thank you, Marianne, and good evening, friends. It's good to be together. And it's hard to believe we've journeyed through a whole year. together in such a different way than we could have imagined. So I want to just begin by saying thank you to everyone for your valuation and love for the work and for our community. It's been a beautiful thing to see unfold. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that, you know, I remember very fondly all the Thursday night classes sitting in the sanctuary, and oftentimes I was sitting in one of the chairs in the sanctuary, and you know, I'd be looking at someone's back of their head as they shared. And one of the things that I find to be so poignant about the Journey School experience this year is that we're face to face right now, and in ways that we weren't before. Just the intimacy of people sharing on the screen, and we're all essentially visiting each other's homes right now, which is also a very unusual kind of energy and experience, but somehow has perhaps humbled us and helped us to be just more ourselves with one another, some level. Well, tonight we're going to do two things at least. This will be an opportunity for you sharing your experience of the homework last week, and I'm going to put up on the screen here in a second those homework invitations. And then, as Marianne said, we'll hint at the kind of the theme for 2021 and expand just a little bit the thinking behind the theme that the truth opens the eyes of our hearts. But before our time of sharing, I'm going to just put on the screen here. Just bear with me 1 second. So tonight, I really encourage those of you who have never shared before this year publicly to explore why you haven't shared publicly, and perhaps be of courage and bless us, and more than anything, bless yourself by anchoring outside of yourself in this very communal way what you have done this week. And perhaps many of you share in your journey groups, but I really encourage those who have never shared to take the courageous step to do so tonight. And so last week, Michael shared the homework with us so joyfully. And so we'll just review these things, and then we can open the floor for how you're applying these. If new to the work, have you stepped over the threshold of the way, the place of no going back? What does this mean in terms of your life choices? In the midst of this extraordinary year, which no one could have envisioned, have you nonetheless experienced glimpses of what has been expressed in this email with an unutterable sense of peace? Even if you have been in the work many years, what have you learned about yourself, God, the world, and the cosmos this year? And the final one was, what do you wish to take with you going into this new year? What do you wish to leave behind? You may wish to craft an affirmation born of your new understanding for the time ahead. So just curious what you heard in this homework this week, and who would like to share? Let's go ahead and raise your hand. Jerome, please.
Can you unmute Jerome?
Oh, sorry, forgot that. I'm going to take your invitation to heart and risk a little bit here. It's been a year since I first found out about the Journey School and about the Church of Conscious Harmony. And quickly, I had no idea of the Gurdjieff work. I had very little idea of what the Church of Conscious Harmony was, but I was interested in the Journey School, the concept, and I felt called to give it a shot. And I was a little hesitant, but what happened at about 6 months was my discernment of whether this was the right path for me, or would I have a conflict with and 12-step spirituality? Was this a leap that I could make? And I had been centering only about 2 years when I entered the school. So I have received a huge gift, and I want to thank everybody in the school. And by reading and centering, there came a point that I felt like this system speaks to me. It gives me an answer, especially the idea of the emotional healing, which was where I felt I was spinning my wheels. So, without going too long, thank you. In a small town in Ohio, and the next step is, do I risk being connected to somebody or a journey group? But this has been a very much a blessing, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jerome, for sharing and your courage, and for the magnetic attraction that has brought you to these ideas, and for your courage in staying and working with it. It's beautiful. And so many in our community have come from or are currently in a recovery tradition, AA tradition or something. And there's such dovetailing between the work and so much of the recovery impulse. And so beautiful to be together. And I do pray you take the next step of experiencing a work partner and a journey group, because those two aspects take the ideas to a completely another level of development and confrontation of the self, and turns out to be some of the deepest relationships one can have, and that we really experience community together in this way. Actually, truthfully, it's the journey groups that have held our church community together this year more than anything. That has been the backbone of our community. Without the journey groups, our COVID experience would have been very, very different. I'm convinced of that. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm glad you're here with us, Jerome, and come and visit anytime. Who else would like to share? Tracy Stevens, please.
Hello, everybody. I was inspired by Jerome sharing, and wanted to relay some similar feelings of gratitude. I know when this offering came up, I wondered if I could do it. I'd been feeling drawn to recommit to the Thursday night class, which I hadn't been consistent on in many years. But this felt like a much bigger commitment. And I think at this time last year, I had like a dozen business trips already planned for 2020. And I thought, oh, I just, I can't do it. And so I committed to the Thursday night. I didn't commit to a journey group, thinking I would be gone too much. But you know, it's so beautiful how you know, God kind of you know, creates the circumstances we need for our own development. And this is what I needed. Obviously, a very difficult circumstance for many, many in the world. And I don't take that lightly, but for me, it's been a blessing to be home, to be able to attend consistently, to be able to go deeper. With all the additional time, there's no commuting anymore to work. There's no traveling. So it's really opened things up. And I also, I valued so much the integration of all the teachings, not just the work teachers, but also pulling in other teachers that we esteem in our community, and having those lessons enlighten one another. It really opened things up. And I think just the depth of the sharing every week and the building of the ideas, you know, in sequence, and seeing the connections more deeply. I think the biggest gift I received is just the strengthening of my own personal wish to continue to grow on the journey, to continue to surrender my personal will to God's will, to and I, you know, for the last few months, as we've studied second and third line, we've talked about the Obligonian strivings, that deeper wish to serve second and third line. I was sharing with my work partner that I always kind of imagined that I would graduate from first line work and be a shinier person and ready to really embrace second and third line. But I know that's not the teaching at all, but that's somehow how it got, you know, construed in my unconscious. And I just feel really happy and good that I can be this. I can be this, you know, very flawed person, and it's okay. It doesn't matter. I don't need to. It's really God's work. And the second and third line is my wish to serve, to love and serve my family, my community, our church community. So just feel very happy and at peace. And thank you for all of your leadership, the whole faculty, for the gift of this year.
Thank you, Tracy. And we all heard your wish, so may it come to be. Thank you. Kathleen, please.
Well, I have some history with the work, but this is the first time that I've done a whole year at the Journey School. And it's been such a great experience. I really probably want to repeat a lot of what the last two people repeated. At heart, I'm a lazy work student. And so I just like the ideas I like, and I kind of ignore the other stuff. And so the emails were so rich that I got a lot from things that I've never spent enough time with, and particularly the cosmology and the octaves and the Obligonian strivings that I had just maybe blown off at some point, and realize how incredibly rich they are. So I was in a journey group, and I am going to have a partner next year, hopefully. And I just too want to say, you all are so gifted. The emails are so great. The teachings have been so great. The slides, it's just really, really rich. And I'll tell you that I introduced a friend of mine who was in an old Gurdjieff group with me many years ago, and she's at a distance, so this was the first time she could attend. And she's actually been in Gurdjieff groups in several different places. And she said, this is what I always thought the work could be if it had enough heart. And it feels like it's the best thing she's ever seen. So she also calls me almost once a week, and we talk about how great it is. So it's been lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen, for sharing. And for your work and presence. Bob Karstens.
I'm one of those people who has been lurking in the background and resisting the temptation to open my big fat mouth, kind of out of fear for what might come out of it. And that's basically a fear of not saying the right thing or not being connected with the truth sufficiently to be able to overcome the false self that I so well created for myself in my life. And even though I've spent a lot of time in front of the camera, it's a very invasive medium, and it's a very intimate medium. And I'm really grateful to you and to everybody at the Journey School for providing this forum for me in particular and for all of us to get over ourselves and to get over our fears of inadequacy or imbecility or insufficiency or whatever. And it gave me a sense of willingness to leap out and to not actually leaping out that far, but just a little bit more of putting myself where my mouth and my head has been. But now what I realize, even though I've never been a student of the work before, I've been around the Church of Conscious Harmony for about 20 years, but in the wings, kind of feeling like, yeah, I'm attracted to it. It's calling me, but there's always a but. It's my career, my travel, or my wife, or my family, but now with the pandemic that has isolated us all and made monks within of all of us, it really has, for me, I think, led me to that tipping point, to over the edge, where, it's about time to really make it real and to center it. And, rather than beating around the bush continually or trying to sit on the fence and find excuses for not making an aim or not taking a wish seriously. So I guess what it hasn't inculcated in me a profound desire to master all of the arcane symbols and language of the work, but it has added enough vocabulary and distinctions that it's become a lot clearer for me week by week. And the even though I was continually resistant through the year to some things, I like to be critical of things, I felt myself just being drawn in. And it's felt really good because I know where that the drawing in is not coming from my, cognitive ability or what's left of it, but really it is that heart movement. And I can feel that. And I really can feel myself softening up. And, for me, the past 4 years have been brought about a tremendous amount of anger and cynicism and, near despair and frustration, all the rest of it in this isolation. But there's been a lot of grace that the folks here, you, Peter and Pamela and everybody kind of behind the scenes that I think have created for all of us a real safe space for us to speak the truth such as we know. And it's great to be here. Thank you very much, Peter, everybody.
We're all nodding our heads. Thank you, Bob, for sharing and for your honesty. And the gift of the work, the language, and the terms, it is freeing because it gives us the capacity to have conversation and understanding about deep things, and we use the same or similar terms. And it just that alone is one of the graces of the work. Every system has its stuff. But one of the gifts that we have experienced, as you reflected this year, is just a deepening understanding of terms and ideas. And I think the glossary, for example, alone is a work of beauty and wisdom. So little things like that do help us all. And no one of us is ever going to be an expert on any symbols or arcanum. And I don't think that's possible because it's an evolving system, but we can share what we know, and each contributes to the whole. And I love how you perceive the value of the team approach, because it's this community that is creating the force of this school. And it's the community that is attracting ideas to itself that is a very sacred thing. It's a very sacred thing that such a community is occurring. So thank you for being a part of it and for your courage in sharing tonight. Let's go to Joe Quintasella, please.
All right, Brother Peter, you hear me?
I can.
All right, so all the work that we've done this year has really helped me learn to know myself, and it's taught me how to transform incoming impressions a little better. As a recovering drug addict and alcoholic, I tried AA and other things to help recover. But for me, I think the work centering prayer, all the work this year has been my daily bread. When I think about the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, centering prayer and the work, and everything this year has really been my bread and has been feeding me. So smell the banquet, brother, and I love y'all. Thank you.
Love you, Joe. Thank you for being you and for your family. Bless you. And keep eating. We have time for more sharing if you would like to do so. Encourage you to share if you've never done so before. Jeff.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. It's good to see everybody. I missed you guys. You know, being in Journey School and being in Journey Group has really given me the ability to look at my isms and my behaviors and identify prior selves that were very destructive and not choose to go very far into that destructive behavior. And I don't think I would have been able to had either the consciousness or the courage to do so without having the work and the brothers and sisters that we share in this community. So what I would take with me is continued growth in our community and have an aim for having a work partner next year. And what I would leave behind is any behavior that I can have the courage to not play with. It's kind of like that snake in the garden. It's very pretty and it's very tempting. And many times I know that it's poisonous and yet I still pick it up. So I long for being able to leave that behind and not play with that anymore. Thank you guys very much. Such a blessing to be a part of this community.
Amen, Jeffrey. Thank you for your force, your wish, and that analogy. I remember Moses turned a staff into a serpent. So there's something really ancient and wise about that image of the serpent and the staff and its healing power. Okay. Yes, there are others who wish to share. I can feel that. Do take courage now and share your your story with us, please. Sandra, and then Beth.
I just wanted to give a shout out to the other community speakers that were not part of the faculty. But I specifically remember Karen Betts and Rodney Edmonton and Francis. And I remember how Rodney named his eyes, and it was so perfect for me. And just, I know that there were more guests who led the sessions, but that was really refreshing as well. And we have so much depth and wisdom. Oh, and even Michael taking the lead for the last 2 weeks. It was such a gift that hopefully that will happen again next year.
Thank you, Sandra. Yes, thanks for reminding us all of the gift of those presenters. And the presenter role will continue, and it's actually a very intentional role, a SEVA role for those in the community, and to have the opportunity to teach. And in order to grow, one must teach. And many of us are in the church, in the school. We have a very rare, significant amount of development of being in our church, in the community, this is a very rare thing that hasn't happened very frequently on the planet, to have such a constellation of people who have been initiated by a teacher, namely Tim and the lineage, and then have made their work and developed. And so we've got this very mature tree producing its abundant harvest of being in people's lives. And so the opportunity to share their being, one's being, to the community is vital to our continued evolution and growth, so that the system's not closed, but is open to new influences and sharing. So thank you for that. And thank you for all your effort with the mark. Yeah. Beth Pierce, please.
I also want to reiterate what a beautiful year it's been, and how beautiful the teachings are, and how they just flowed. I had been to work classes for several years, and the way the teachings this past year have been put together has just been extraordinary. I think what this year has provided for me is more of a capacity to non-identify and self-remember. And an example of that is after the retreat this weekend, I found myself fretting with anxiety about something that I had said that I would do, but then I just totally forgot, and also some frustration. And when I labeled it as unloading, it was almost an immediate ability just to self-observe and not identify and just let it go. And, you know, and it wasn't that it didn't come back at times, but as soon as that impression came in, I could catch it and just let it go and let it go and let it go. And I think that is has become more of a capacity in this past year than before. And I thank everybody for, from deep gratitude from the bottom of my heart for this year.
Amen. Thank you, Beth. That's received. We have time for a few more tonight. Yes, Bob, go ahead.
Okay. A very important part of this year for me has been an expansion of my appreciation and understanding of cosmology. Now, I'm certainly not that well versed with the works cosmology. I certainly, you know, I have moved around in it and tried to understand it and tried to appreciate some of it. But I'm just saying, I just really feel like a child of the universe, which is something I've never experienced before. You know, for me, it's an enormous, it's an amazing sense of self-remembering who I am, where I am, whose I am, with whom I am, etc. It's just been incredible. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Yes. Where would we be without the cosmology? Christianity without a cosmology is poor. Catherine, please. Catherine Nichols.
Well, I would say that this last year has given me a greater valuation for a relationship. Just all the ones I have in the world because of the pandemic, that not seeing people, when I do see people, that's such a precious gift. And the second line has been just life-saving for me to have those relationships within the work. And I'm finding that you know, there's so much oneness with the work that we're all doing. I mean, one person shares something and it just feels like I could have said that. I can put it on. I can feel it. I can feel the way they feel. And so that second line-ness about it, the year has been really wonderful. And the other thing that stood out for me, and it's not just the last few weeks about consciously chosen love, but just the way that the material has been offered has really landed in me as both a greater acceptance of myself as being loved by God and loved in the community and loving other people. And the writings have just incorporated enough loving softness that, you know, I love Nicole's commentaries, but my personality can read those and go, oh, he's wagging his finger at me. And the way these emails have been written this year just doesn't feel like that at all. It just feels like being loved all the time, loved into knowledge and loved into transformation. Been a beautiful time.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. And before I move on, I want to say a special personal word of gratitude to Mary Ann, who has functioned as our abbess this year, the first time this role was ever created in the community. And so she's just so gracefully embodied the abbess role. And it's been a joy and a gift to work together with you, Mary Ann. And I also want to say a very special word of thanks to each of our faculty members, Lori, Bev, Pamela, and Donald. And we all have been on this journey together, and it was a new thing, and it's been a joy to experiment with you this year, and we've grown so much. And send love to each of you. So I'm going to share the screen here, and if I can see it. As the email today suggested, we're going to be focusing in 2021 on the emotional center. And the emotional center is one aspect of being human. We have the gift of all three centers, at least all three centers, intellectual, emotional, and moving. And obviously, there's more to us than just those three things. But the emotional center has these extraordinary aspects to it that the work teaches us in terms of the higher emotional center and the higher intellectual center. And to a large extent, 2021 will be given to the exploration of our emotional center, and in particular, the inner parts of our emotional center and what might higher emotional center be. The image of the logo conveys to me the great mystery that is the emotional center, its power, its radiance, its goodness, its purity, its potential. It's the heart center, bearing light, cracking open and sharing with the world. And to get to this place of illumination, one needs to go through purgation. And so much of the work teachings and the work ideas, when we put them on and practice them, are a part of the purgative dimension, or cleansing us, or healing us, or unloading us. And then we move into this more illuminative stage where there's a certain sense of knowing and seeing the truth. And we'll talk about that in the months to come, about how contemplation and the work help us see the truth and to know the truth and to understand the truth and to teach the truth and to share it. In that beautiful passage that Marianne read that we began with from Ephesians chapter 1, it's a prayer. It's one of two prayers in the book of Ephesians. It's so powerful. But if you notice there in that prayer, it asks that the eyes of the heart be enlightened or opened. And just the notion of the eyes of the heart alone is such a beautiful image, that the heart has a capacity to see in a different way than the physical eyes or even the intellect does. But that the prayer is that those eyes be enlightened or opened in a new dimension to see new realities, different reality, and to perceive at deeper, finer levels. But notice the what happens when the eyes are opened, that they might know and have hope. So there's this essence that the eyes of the heart, as they are enlightened, brings a sense of knowledge or knowing or understanding, and also an emotion, and a higher emotion that the prayer calls hope. And so it's a connection to all of us, that the emotional center brings us knowledge and emotional qualities like hope and joy and peace. We're all familiar with the diagrams from Maurice Nichols' commentaries. And, you know, these diagrams were written probably in the 40s and early 50s. And they are useful to a certain extent because they are very one-dimensional, flat expressions of the mystery of being human in all our different dimensions. But just notice that the emotional center is divided into two large sections, the positive, which is the top part here, and then the negative, which is the lower section here. And the most interesting aspect of Maurice Nichols' diagrams is that he divides the emotional center, or it's what I prefer to call operations, into three different areas: the intellectual, emotional, and moving part. What's most intriguing to me is this sense of religious emotions and aesthetic emotions, moral emotions and that lead to conscience here in the emotional part of emotional center. So it's this idea that there's an inner part to a particular center that functions in a very specific way. And the question becomes, where are we gunked up in our emotional centers? And in particular, where can self-observation help us get free or see where we need to be free in those particular parts of the emotional center. Now, I've never really actually seen any of these compartments. This is not a literal expression of what is in us, but it's a useful one-dimensional description to help us see that there's more to us at any given time than we might realize, and that underneath one operation of our mind or emotional state, there might be several others occurring simultaneously, or even offline. these inner parts of centers, here's a little description. This is from our Journey School glossary. The idea of inner parts of centers conveys the human experience of inwardness and depth. But the ideas of centers and inner centers does not mean that there are literally different compartments in us. One should think of these centers and inner parts of centers as operational processes that could occur in greater harmony with one another. Neurobiology is an especially helpful way of updating and interpreting these mid-20th century work ideas and diagrams. And I think we all can find analogies to help us describe our awareness of our emotions and the different aspects of our emotions, the different qualities of our emotions, and how they occur in our bodies, where they occur in the bodies, how it's affected our thought process, and where we, what's the quality or the color or the texture of the feeling we're feeling at any given moment. And so we can begin to see that these are operational processes that could get tuned up and exist in deeper harmony, perhaps. Here's a different image than the pie chart. And this image conveys to me some big ideas. But notice that the human being is a system, an interconnected system. And though the picture's not perfect, it gets the idea across that we're not just a brain, and the intellectual center isn't just limited to the brain. The emotional center isn't limited to the heart, and the moving instinctual center isn't just limited to the body. The whole system is integrated. And there are all these different energetic patterns and sequences that are occurring in at any given time in a human body that could be measured. Probably our intellectual mind can be measured. Our emotions can be measured. Our physical energy output could be measured. So all of these things are interfacing with each other. And it's a big part of the cosmos. As it is above, so it is below. We're in the cosmos at this very moment. And it also has a mind and emotions and a body, and communicates with us through our centers and through especially the higher intellectual center and higher emotional centers. So the pie charts are very useful at an intellectual level to conceptualize the various operations that are occurring in different ways. But here's a kind of a expanded understanding, perhaps, of the interconnectedness of the intellectual center and emotional center and body in the cosmos. This is a beautiful quote. This is also from Burl Pogson. Higher emotional and intellectual centers, which being timeless, are unlike the ordinary minds, intellectual, moving, and emotional center. These higher centers are already developed in us. They come pre-installed, it seems, working but at a pitch too fine for us to hear until our lower centers are balanced and purified. Higher emotional center is the seat of conscience and the organ of individuality. Higher intellectual center puts one in touch with cosmic principles. Now, this one paragraph is a treasure trove of ideas to ponder. And the first thing that I love about this is the idea that we are already pre-installed with higher emotional, higher intellectual center in us. And so that to me suggests this profound grace that is given to human beings, that we're created in the image of God, but the likeness of God has been lost or dimmed. So the returning or the rehabilitation of the likeness of God might include reconnecting with these extraordinary operations within a human being, higher intellectual, higher emotional center. And that's in part what we'll be wishing for in 2021, is that the eyes of our hearts would be opened so that we could see and know and understand and feel. So the second thing to point out here is that the higher emotional center and higher intellectual center, she says, gives this music analogy, are at a pitch too high, kind of like a dog whistle. A human can't hear it, but a dog can. our consciousness can't connect with the higher emotional or higher intellectual center, perhaps as normally or naturally as we could if we worked on ourselves. And so the idea of being balanced and purified so that the lower centers are balanced and purified so that they can open up to hear and connect us up with the higher emotional center and higher intellectual center. That to me suggests a great deal of work and effort. And that's essentially what we are doing in the work is helping us be more balanced, be more healed and purified, so to speak. That which is in us that gunks us up emotionally is freed and healed. And in that process, as so many of you have experienced over the years and decades of being in the work, that your emotional center has been contacted and hooked up with in a much broader, deeper, fuller way than when you first began. And it's evident in our conversations. And the last thing that I find is so profound about the higher emotional center is the gift of individuality that emerges. That higher emotional center is the seat of conscience, which is knowing and feeling all together. And that somehow releases the gift of your individuality. And that individuality is part of your gift to the world and your gift to God. And so it's a powerful thing to begin to say, yes, I wish to have the eyes of my heart opened so that I might come to the fullness of my being here on this planet. So just pause here and come back to the questions, the homework in just a moment, and see if we've got any questions that have come up or comments of anything I've shared so far. Okay, we'll go back to the homework then. So we've got 5 weeks until we meet again as a journey school. And in the next 5 weeks, you'll have the opportunity to receive the invitation from this church about the 2021 journey school. And you'll have the opportunity to discern if you wish to continue in engaging these ideas, going deeper. And as you discern that, I encourage you to ponder this homework and explore these two practices for the next 5 weeks, especially during the beautiful approach to winter solstice. So until we meet again on January 14th, let us each wish and work along the lines of the email, but also to daily take time to be still and silent and watch the morning and or evening light slowly fade in and out. In other words, be with the light and observe what emotions arise in you as you just simply be still and watch the light either in the evening or the morning. And then secondly, twice daily, or when paired with your centering prayer, read out loud that quote that we began the class with from Bernadette Roberts. Read it out loud, literally speak it out loud, get it in your mind, get it in your emotions, get it in your body and speak it out loud. You could say it quietly to yourself, but the invitation is to watch the light in the morning or evening and then to speak this paragraph that Bernadette has written twice a day. And as we do this together as a community, it will create an energy field of intention, I believe. And it will form a bridge between our closing night tonight and our opening night on the 14th of January. The emotional center is perhaps one of the more challenging centers to observe because emotions are so fast and they work in the body in so fast way, the different chemicals that get sent through the body in response to fear. So if negative emotions run the world, and by negative, we don't mean bad, so to speak, but the notion that all emotions play a role, some emotions can become quite negative if depending on how we use them. So it's not per se that an emotion like anger is negative, right, you know, forever and ever, but how that anger is used and how it expresses itself in you, what it does to you, is, I think, the depleting energy. And that's another word I would use to describe negative, that it's depleting. It's a minus. It's literally a taking something from you, not giving something to you. And that, in my experience, as I've observed that the negative emotions in my life, they have depleted me, and even depleted me physically as well. So sickness tends to happen oftentimes after a negative emotion has run rampant in my life. So, you know, focusing on the emotional center in 2021 will serve ourselves wherever we are on the journey, but it will also serve our community as we open more and more to that higher emotional center that has the capacity to give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and to know and to feel in more comprehensive ways. So I'm excited very much to begin 2021, and I love the logo and look forward to discovering in my own life the peppermint flavor of awakening and seeing the truth and knowing God more deeply. So I wish you all a beautiful remaining Advent and Christmas season with you and your loved ones. Good night.
1968. On December 21st, which this year is the solstice, a magical solstice, and you might read something about the planetary events that are slated to begin on that particular day and how very rare they are. But on December 21st in 1968, three astronauts stepped into a tiny little capsule to go to the moon. And it was the first time that a photograph of what the Earth looked like actually came back. And it was done on the spur of the moment, and it became a photograph that is now very famous, entitled Earthrise. But these three astronauts sent us a blessing on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1968. And so we're going to, as part of our closing tonight, receive the words that they sent to us those many years ago, and have a glimpse into what they saw as they were reading those words.
Now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. and God made the firmament. And divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
We affirm together that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.